Good morning, we are learning Malachim Aleph. We are in the second parak. We are toward the end of the second parak today. On page 26, toward the bottom, on Pasuk Lamed Vav. As the new king is here, there's some packets over here up top here. As Shlomo is the new king who took over his position from his father David, who had since passed away, so he was given various forms of instruction. So we saw last week, the one thing that he had to take care of was Yoav. Yoav ben Tsruya, who was involved in a rebellion against his father, against Shlomo's father, ultimately has Yoav killed. That's what we saw. So now we continue with Pasuk Lamed Vav. One last person. V'yishlach ha-melech v'yikra l'shimi. And the king, Shlomo, sends out to get Shimi. And as we saw before, Shimi was, although a tremendous scholar, he also did things which were not appropriate to David. Namely, he cursed him. When it came to the time when David was running away, he picked up dirt and was kicking it and throwing it at him, and he was saying all terrible obscenities and curses toward David, which obviously showed a tremendous lack of respect. Now, what do we do with Shimi? Well, the logical thing is, kill the guy. We're killing everyone else, so we might as well kill Shimi as well. But, as we saw in the beginning of this parak, a few weeks back, when David gave instructions to his son on his deathbed, he did not tell him that he should just wipe away and kill Shimi, but rather he should come up with some strategy to observe, to watch him. He was a great man. Shimi was a tremendous scholar, and he was also the Rebbe, the teacher of David, and the teacher of Shlomo, as we'll see in the first Rashi in the next parak. So, just to kill him would be maybe extreme. Therefore, v'yomer lo b'nei locha bayis v'yushalayim. Why don't you build for yourself a house? Build it in your Yerushalayim. V'yishavta sham, you can live there. You can live there in peace, no problem. However, lo seitzi misham ana v'ana. I do not want you to leave from there to go in this direction or that direction. Can't leave. A house to rest, exactly. That is what is being instructed. Now, what is the motivation of Shlomo? Why should he tell him he can't leave? So, Rashi tells us, the last Rashi on this page, V'lotetzi misham k'dei shehi matzli lo, so he should be found by him. So he should be able to keep an eye on Shimi throughout the whole time. V'limsebo chet maves, and to find a mistake, and to be able to pounce on that mistake to have him killed. If you look in the Masudas Dov, he says it a little more clearly, the very last one on the page. That the purpose of Shimi being near Shalim is so that he should be nearby the king. To find some shortcoming. So all you have to do is just have some surveillance cameras hovering over him. And once you find one thing the person does wrong, then I'll be able to punish him. So it's similar if a person hopefully doesn't get caught by a police officer while they're driving, because how many people violate, you know, basic speeding and driving on a highway, so you go a couple miles above the speed limit. So hopefully a police officer doesn't catch you. But if you have a police officer following you every single place you go, inevitably, you're going to end up doing something wrong. And that was the motivation of Shlomo, to catch Shimi doing something wrong in order for him to be able to be punished for that thing. Ultimately, if a person is followed and scrutinized continuously, it's inevitable that they'll be caught. And if you look furthermore in the words of the Radak, which is also the last line on our page, 26, Benilichal Bias, build for yourself a house. He did not live in Yerushalayim. Shimi lived in a place called Babchurim. But Tzivo, who lived in Oslobayis Yerushalayim, Kamoshi Perashti, and he was told to build a house in Yerushalayim. Kidei Shehe Mezuman, and then we'll continue on the next page, Lo, V'yimslo Ilo Lohamiso, as the Mesuz Dov and the Rosh say, so that he should be nearby. Okay, now, if you look in the English over here on page 27, he says as follows, where it says 36:46, David had urged Solomon to beware of Shimi and to find a suitable reason to punish him. Now Solomon began to put the plan in motion. Shimi was one of the greatest scholars in the land, but his judgment was flawed, and he showed that he cursed David vehemently, thinking that the overthrown king would never reclaim his throne. If Shimi were permitted to leave in his hometown, where he was the most outstanding scholar, and where his word would go unchallenged, his perverse instincts would pose a danger to Solomon's authority. But if he were compelled to reside only among the sages of Jerusalem, which there is a tremendous amount of scholars in Jerusalem, he would never become influential, because as smart as he was, there are so many other scholarly people in Jerusalem that would contend and disagree with everything that he would say. Solomon's first step, therefore, was to relocate Shimi to the holy city, to Yerushalayim. You see on the bottom that Solomon's intention was to keep Shimi nearby so that he could be held under scrutiny, and if he committed a capital offense on the next page of 28, which we'll see in a second on the top anyway, Solomon could react immediately, as we saw in Rashi. The Rin the Barbanel explained that Solomon considered Shimi to be a potential dangerous rebel, and therefore did not want him to go about the country spreading subversion. According to the Zohar, Solomon hoped that the restrictions he imposed on Shimi, who had been his teacher, would bring him atonement for his ill treatment of David. And that's how the Me'am always explains it, that he accepted upon himself the role of being a teacher, an educator. And therefore, giving this person a position of power which is of a positive influence, then he would not be focused on the negative things that he did in the past.
What's considered a capital offense?
Rebelling against the king.
Right.
Right. Okay, so now let's move on. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. V'ayah b'yom seitzcha, this is still the king speaking. The day you go out, v'yavartes nachal kidron yado teda kimos tamos. If you go and cross this valley called Kidron, you should know you're going to die. You cannot leave this place. You have all of your Yerushalayim. Doesn't say you have to live in the house. It sounds like maybe he has all of your Yerushalayim. You just can't pass this Nachal Kidron. Your blood will be on your head. So it'll really be ultimately your decision whether or not you wish to live or to die. If you want to live a long life, just stay in your Yerushalayim. Worst places to live, and that's not the end of the world. And that's all you have to do. Pasuk Lamed Ches V'yomer Shimi LaMelech. So Shimi wants to now to show that he understands exactly what he has been told. Tov Adavar, what's being said is good. Kasher Dibur Adoni HaMelech, as the king said, Kenetsa Abdecha, so shall your servant do. I will obey your command. The Eishiv Shimi V'Yerushalayim Yomim Rabim. In fact, it must be he built a house. Doesn't say, but he lived in Yerushalayim for many days. Doesn't say how many days, but we can paint that picture when we see the next pasuk. Vehimi Kate Shol Shanim, that it was after already 3 years. So a lot of time has already gone by, and there was Shimi doing as he was told, simply just stay in Yerushalayim, not leave, no problem. However, there was a problem. And what was this problem that happened to Shimi? V'yibruchu shnei avadim l'shimi. There were two servants, and a slave costs a lot of money. And if you have a slave that runs away, it's a tremendous financial loss. Where did they run off to? Not too far away. They ran away from Yerushalayim. Maybe this was their motivation. They may knew that their master wasn't allowed to leave Yerushalayim, so all they had to do was leave and run away from Yerushalayim, and all of a sudden they felt safe. Where did they go? They went El-Ochesh bin Malcha Melch Gas. They went to this place, Gas, and that's the name of the king of Gas. Yagidu l'shimi leimor, hini abadacha begas. Again, the servants had no need to hide, because they knew that their master, presumably, they figured out, who says that, you know, it was a secret, that their master was not allowed to leave Yerushalayim. So everyone knew that the two servants ran away, and they're sitting there in Gas, and you can't do anything about it. So Shimi said, you know what? This is ridiculous. The whole reason why the king told me not to move around is so I don't rebel against him, is so I don't spread evil reports about him. But what do I want to do? I'm just going to get my two servants, go to another city, and come right back. I'm sure the king's not going to care. And that's what he did, as we now see the next pasuk. V'yakim Shimi, Shimi got up, Yachadosh es chamaro, and he saddled his own donkey. V'yelech gata el ochish, he went to Gas, levakish es avada, to try to find his two slaves.
Ochish is a, el ochish, what is ochish? Ochish
is the name of the king. No, Gath is the name of the king.
Gath, right,
Gath is the name of the king. Melech Gath.
It's questionable why we need to know the name of the king in this particular point, but nonetheless, he went to this place, which was outside of Yerushalayim, which is the most important part of the story, and Levakish Zavada, he wanted to get his slaves back. V'yelech Shimi, so he went, V'yoveh Zavada Migas, and he went to get his servants from Gas, and he brought them back. That was it. Very simple. No big deal. And he went right back to Yerushalayim. He wouldn't, you know, just ignore the king's command. So probably Shlomo understood. Shlomo just let him off the hook now. But you got little Shlomo. Shlomo's waiting for the opportunity to pounce on Shimi. And waiting for any excuse to get him killed. But you got the Shlomo, therefore, once it was told to Shlomo, Ki hol Shimi Yerushalayim Gas v'yashuv. Even though he went to Gas and he came back, v'yishlach ha-melech, the king sent word, v'yikru l'shimi, and he called out to Shimi v'yamri lav, he said, hello, hishbaticha b'Hashem. Did I not make a shvuah, I swore in the name of God, v'id b'cha, and v'id b'cha, Rashi translates l'shem hasra, I warned you, Lamor v'yom seischa, the day you get out, v'lachta, and you travel on anywhere outside of Yerushalayim, yada teda kimos tomos. I told you, you were going to be killed. But Tamrei lai, and you not only didn't contest this, you said back to me, Toma damar shamati. That was good. I understand. I'll accept your words, the king. Not that they had much of a choice anyway, but you certainly were receptive, you heard what I said, because that was your response. Don't you remember this conversation, this dialogue that we had between one another? So before we see Pasuk Mem Gimel, just as a side part, the Radak points out over here on Pasuk Mem Beis, Holo Shmeticha, now Avopi Shlo Zachar Lamala, and we just read this whole story. We never find the language of a Shvuah. We just saw the whole story about how Shlomo was speaking to Shimi, and there's no language of Shvuah, an oath in the name of God. We don't find that. Ella Shehisrubo, he did warn him. That's true. So how could Shlomo say that he made a Shvuah? It's not true. Nira Sheshbiu Acha Sh'amrlo. It's possible that he did make a Shvuah after he said it to him. Dulo Kofrbo, he didn't deny it. So it is possible. It just may not be mentioned in the sentences. But possibly he did make a shvuah. So just not everything in the sentences, not everything is necessarily mentioned. But he probably did say it as well. Now, the Radak then quotes his father. V'adayni and my master, Avizal, my father, Pirish, my father gives another explanation. So what does the Radak's dad say about this? Ki mitzvah samelech hu kamo hashvuah. That when a king gives a commandment, it has the same power as an actual shvuah, as an oath. V'chein omar ani ki api melech shomor v'al dibarta shvuah selkim. And that's the reason why he says that you did not listen to my words, and therefore you violated the oath of God. Therefore, that's how he interprets it. That you had to listen to me because I'm a king. It's not just a regular person warning you. I'm a king. When a king warns you, it's powerful as a shvuah. Then the Radak continues and says, Wa'ibacha Kalaymar, and so Rashi said that means, I warned you. Says the Radak, I didn't command this to you between just the two of us in private. So you cannot contradict me and say, you never told me that. It was just me and you in a secluded in a room. I said this to you in front of many people. This is what I swore by Hashem Yisbarach in the name of God. You accepted this commandment. You said yes. You violated not listening to the Shavuah, which is connected to God, and my words as well. So, what Shlomo was smart is that Shlomo, of course, he's a king, he can do whatever he wants, but he wanted to make sure that people saw that he was a rebel. He rebelled, is not listening to the king's words. And therefore, instead of him just giving this warning directly to him, just the two of them, but it was done with other people there. It obviously makes sense. A king is not just going to be calling Shimi, who potentially could do him harm, and speak in private. This was something which was done in front of numerous people. This way, it was very clear that if you do not do exactly as the king, you're being more of a malchus, you're rebelling, and therefore you'll be sentenced to death. But what he does, as we now see in Pasuk Mem Gimel, is that Shlomo explains that it was not just this action. This was the straw, if you will, which caused his downfall. Madua. Lo shamarteis mit eshuas Hashem. You see this straight from the sentences, Pasuk Mem Gimel. Why did you violate this oath of Hashem? Vesa mitzvah asher sevisi alecha, the command which I commanded you. So clearly, we all know this, but a mitzvah is not a good deed. Mitzvah is not a good deed. That's a mistranslation. It's a commandment. Right? So vesa mitzvah asher sevisi alecha, I commanded you to do this, not to leave Jerusalem. And you left Jerusalem? How could you have violated my mitzvah? Which of course means when we have 613 mitzvahs, it doesn't mean 613 good deeds. It's 613 things we must do. They're commandments. Okay. V'yomer hamelech el Shimi. So the king furthermore continued and spoke to Shimi. And says, I'll tell you that you know. Is kol ha-ra'ah asher yadu levavcha, all the evil that was in your heart, asher asisa l'david avi, you had these negative feelings toward my father, the king, David, and all the curses that you threw at him and terrible things you said about him. So what will Hashem now do? He's going to bring this evil that you have done. It will now be upon your head. You're now going to be punished for what you did. And you should know that even though I'm doing a whole bunch of killing, don't think that means that I'm going to also get punished. Rather, I, the king, Shlomo, I will be blessed. V'kisei Davidien nachlein l'fnei Hashem ad oilam, and my throne will endure, it will be strong, ad oilam, forever. Which, of course, we know doesn't happen, but at least Shlomo does remain as a king, and as we'll see in a moment, Rashi, so let's see, if you look at Rashi, Pasuk Mem Vav, b'malacha Nechayna, which you didn't see this pasuk yet, Klamer lo nenish al kol eile. Shlomo was not punished for this. He didn't do anything wrong. He was instructed to get rid of people that could potentially cause him harm and be a threat to the longevity of the throne. And therefore, he did nothing wrong. And therefore, we conclude the parak by saying, Ve'etzav ha-melech has ben Yahu ben Yoyada, that he commanded ben Yahu ben Yoyada, who was this great Kohen, but he was also the great executioner, that Yetzei v'yifka bo b'yomos, he went out and killed him. And we discussed how a Kohen is allowed to kill. Either he's allowed to kill him, or maybe he stabbed him and then he withdrew, causing him to die without him coming in contact with the dead. B'malacha nechayna b'yad shloimo, and the Malchus remained strong and steadfast completely in the name of Shlomo. So Shlomo, again, as we saw in Rashi, was not punished. And Radak, as we'll conclude this parak with, Nechoyna b'yad Shlomo, says Radak, Kivan shemesu oyvav, once his enemies died, hamlucha hais nechoyna b'yad Shlomo. It's interesting, it doesn't say that before, even though he was a king already for a few years. But as long as there are people that wish to overthrow and to threaten and to overturn, then the malchus is not strong. But once there's no knowing wishing to contend and to cause problems, then and only then does the pasuk say that his malchus was nechoina, it was established strong, biad moshe, biad shloim.